Lord Jesus Christ, one of the joys of the Christian life is hearing how the Lord has worked in somebody's life, like bringing them through various circumstances, such as a sin-filled life, or through situations like disaster or disease or sickness to the place where they are now. We think of examples like the Apostle Paul, who as the Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor of a church and yet raised up to be a mighty servant in the kingdom. Or think of others in church history, heroes of the faith like St. Augustine, who had lived an immoral life before being called into the Lord's service. Or of a man like Martin Luther, who had a career or a desire to be a lawyer, and yet the Lord called him to work as a minister and as a preacher. We think of the Lord's dealings with them, and we're amazed and stand in awe of his grace and goodness. And in our text today, we also see that sovereign working of God to the place where God wanted them to be, taking them out of the sufferings and miseries of Moab and into the land of promise, where there is blessing and favor to be found in the presence of the living God. God is a God of grace, and we see that so profoundly in the lives of Ruth and Naomi. And so our message for today, as noted in the bulletin, the Lord God continues to reveal his plan of redemption for Naomi and Ruth. The Lord continues to reveal his plan of redemption for Naomi and Ruth. And we'll see that in three things today. We'll see that in the humility of Ruth, the compassion of Boaz, and also in the blessings for Naomi. The humility of Ruth, the compassion of Boaz, and the blessings for Naomi. Now, last time we saw that Naomi and Ruth had returned to Israel, and they pretty much had nothing at all. Clothes on their back and whatever they could carry. And so now that they're back in Bethlehem, they probably have looked for a place to stay in order to get settled in before they start life anew. And one of the things that they would have to start right away is that they would have to go to work. They would have to provide food for themselves. And yet, we have a big problem. Naomi is getting on in years, and she wouldn't be able to do all the work that needed to be done. The only hope they really had was that Ruth would be able to go and to glean in the surrounding fields and to gather some grain. Now, according to God's law, that was permissible. The poor, widows, and also foreigners in the land were permitted to glean from fields that were being harvested. For you see, it was the Lord's will that none of his people go hungry. God's law was very gracious. But he also provided that strangers in the land might know his kindness and generosity. And so even with that knowledge of what God allowed, we sense maybe as we read through this letter a bit of fear in Naomi. We see that especially towards the end. For her daughter-in-law is not an Israelite, is she? She is a foreigner from the land of Moab, and she might experience some hardships, maybe verbal and even physical abuse from cruel landowners or other servants. Naomi knows what may happen if Ruth goes out the door to work. And yet Ruth herself knows the situation. She knows the sacrifices and trials that she may have to endure because she has cast her lot in with the Lord. And yet she's willing to do whatever needs to be done, including gleaning in the fields. For as we see from verse 2, she begs, she pleads with Naomi to let her go. Really what she's doing, children, is honoring the fifth commandment. She sees that as very important, and so should we when it comes to helping our parents and honoring them, not only when they're young, but when they're older in life and they need our care. She says to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. And thus in faith we see Naomi grants her request. And yet when we look at these verses, we cannot help but marvel at the humility of this young woman, Ruth. For notice her willingness to sacrifice and to endure hardship for the sake of her mother-in-law. And notice also her humility in that request to go and glean. Because unless Naomi gives her approval, she won't go. She is one who will submit to herself, to her will, and to her direction. She certainly has a humble heart. And notice that too, that when she does go, she doesn't simply walk into somebody's field and start gleaning. Rather, she goes and she asks permission first before she enters that field. And again, this is surprising because Ruth had every right, according to God's law, to just go in and take for herself what she needed. And yet, as we notice, she would only do that if she found favor in the eyes of the landowner or the foreman and was welcomed into that field. And indeed, it shows us the heart of Ruth. It shows us that she had awareness of her own standing as a foreigner in the land of promise. She knew that she was a stranger, that she was an alien, and that it was really a privilege to live in this land. A land that was loved by Jehovah God, the Lord God of Israel. Such a reality was humbling to her because she had seen the Lord's work in her life and in her family. She had heard all the stories of Israel, and it made her keenly aware of her own unworthiness. For how could she be so blessed? What right did she have to live in this land and to know this God, especially being a person from one of his enemies, the land of Moab? Yes, Ruth's was a humble heart before the Lord. And in due time, he would bless that trusting and humble heart, this woman of faith. Because you see, as she goes out to gather grain into the great unknown, the Lord would lead her to a field belonging to Boaz. Again, how wonderful. And while she was there, that same humility and respect for those in authority would shine forth and be remembered and stand out to this man, Boaz. For as it would happen, as if by chance, but of course by providence, Boaz came out to his field to oversee his workers. And there he spotted this strange woman gathering behind the maids who were gathering up the sheaves. And as we see in verses 6 and 7, the leader of the servants tells Boaz about her humble request to come in there. And the servant was impressed by this woman as she worked diligently from morning on, only taking a little break here and there. And when Boaz heard all of this, it confirmed what he already knew about her. And that is the love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law and for the Lord. But you see, it was seen in the way she left her family, left her land, and left her false gods for the true God. It was seen in her humble words and her diligent deeds. It was seen in that humble faith of her life, this woman from Moab. And this deeply touched Boaz, a godly man himself. You can see that in his words in verse 12. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Yes, the sacrifice and love of this woman greatly impressed him. And in turn, he desires to see that she is rewarded for that devotion. And so through Boaz, the Lord does that. He brings blessing to her life. For as we see, Boaz gives her permission to continue to glean in his field. She's also allowed to drink of the water supplied by the servants. And she's promised protection. No harm will come to her under his care. God shows his favor through Boaz. And at this, Ruth is overwhelmed. She falls to the ground, marveling over his kindness. For who could show such compassion to a foreigner, one so unworthy to even be there in that land belonging to the Lord? Yes, from Boaz radiates the kindness and compassion that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ. A kindness that comes to those unworthy of God's grace. A kindness that comes to those who are humbled, realizing their own sense of unworthiness before such a holy and gracious God. Christ stands out so beautifully here in this godly man. And too, when we contemplate and think about our life, are we not overwhelmed like Sister Ruth? Are we not in awe of the many blessings that come to us in the life of faith? Do we not marvel at how we pray for our daily bread, and yet like Ruth, we receive so much more? Are we not amazed at like Ruth at how that protective hand is with us and upon us when so much uncertainty around us, even bringing us through the most painful and difficult trials? And are we not overwhelmed by God's abounding love to sinners? Truly, we're amazed as Sister Ruth at the love of our faithful God. And we too in our hearts fall before him today in praise and in wonder for the mighty things he has done through our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us in our salvation. Indeed, as we see here, God rewards the humble and dependent faith of Ruth by bringing her closer to the one who can redeem her and Naomi, taking her out of curse and bringing her into blessing. Boaz, their redeemer. Thus, we see here as we enter into chapter 2, the wonderful humility of this God-fearing woman named Ruth. I've mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. In the Hebrew Bible, the books are ordered differently. In the Hebrew Bible, the Proverbs comes before the book of Ruth. So you end with this picture of the virtuous woman, and then you have a book showing you an example of one who is, of course, of the line of Christ. And so we move and we come to our next point, and we see the compassion of this man, Boaz. The compassion of Boaz. Now, who is this man who owns the field Ruth gleans in? Well, verse 1 tells us right away that he was a man of standing. That is, children, he was a man of great wealth, prestige. He was a man of power. Boaz was likely the owner of many fields and servants and animals. It also may suggest that he held a high position among the people, maybe a leader or even an elder. But as we're told here, Boaz, more importantly, was a relative of Naomi's husband because he was of Elimelech's family from Bethlehem. Very important to note. Thus, you might say in every way, Boaz is a redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, one who can help them in this time of need and distress. And yet, unlike ourselves, Ruth doesn't realize that connection yet. She's merely gleaning in this field, but doesn't know anything about the man himself. And yet there's more here than his wealth and his standing and the blood connection that he has to Elimelech. What is really striking about Boaz is his godly character. Character that's seen in his words and in his deeds. Boaz is indeed a compassionate man, a fair and kind man. And we see that as he deals with his servants. For we notice that the first thing he does is he blesses them. He says, "The Lord be with you." And his workers reply, "The Lord bless you." There was no secular and sacred distinction for Boaz. Work and service were all before the Lord. Whether you worked in the field or you worked at the tabernacle, you lived for God. Boaz is a God-fearing man and a gracious master. His servants know this, and so they work hard for them. And so if you have a Christian employer, be thankful for that and praise the Lord for that and pray for them. We see his character here radiates towards those whom he might look down upon, really, as one who is well off. And thus it strikes us even as even more amazing that the Lord would lead her to Boaz and not to somebody else. Because really, if Boaz had been any other relative, he might have looked down upon Ruth with disgust and disdain. For here is this Moabite woman, now in Israel because of the unfaithfulness of my relative. Elimelech, you see, was a man who was well off, like Boaz. And yet he left his inheritance. He fled when the going got tough and he paid the penalty for it. And now his wife and his daughter-in-law are here to sponge off me. If Boaz had been any other man, Ruth and Naomi might have gone on to endure a miserable life under a tyrant. But as we see, Boaz has a very godly character, a Christ-like character. For he knows what Elimelech did. He knows his unfaithful decisions. He knows what he chose to do. And he knows that God's punishment upon him was just. And yet, you note that in spite of that, he has compassion. In spite of that past life, in spite of that rebellion, we see kindness and mercy from him. For you see, Boaz has love in his heart. Love for the poor and the needy. Love for those undeserving of grace. Really, he's much like the father in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, who cries out in joy when his son returns home. For even though he squandered his inheritance on the worldly pleasures of this life, he lovingly embraces him, receives him, and restores him. Boaz has the love of Christ in his heart. A love that our Lord would exemplify to the nth degree upon the cross for the most unworthy and the most undeserving. And so we see that Boaz does for Ruth what Christ would do for us, delivering us out of hopelessness and despair, delivering us out of pain and uncertainty, and bringing us into his rich blessing. For notice, not only does Boaz act in compassion, showing love in spite of their past, we also see that he desires fellowship with them. Not just words, but in deeds. Not just in sympathy, but in actions. For we see in verse 14 that he invites Ruth to share a meal with him and his servants. She's invited to come to his table and to enjoy his feast. And there she eats until she is satisfied and has more than enough to take home to give to Naomi. Yes, here at this table, we see a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires that kind of communion and intimate fellowship with us, that we might come to his table, that we might come to his house and be fed, that we might be spiritually filled, taking with us his blessing so that we may share with others who may be blessed. He desires fellowship with us just as Boaz did with Ruth, because in his eyes, Ruth wasn't just a servant. Ruth was a friend. One who was dear to his heart because of her love for the Lord and her willingness to give up everything in following him. And so too for us, dear congregation, and in no way saying it in a light way, Jesus is our friend. For we are not merely slaves of a tyrant. We are adopted sons and daughters of the Most High through our elder brother. For he has saved us and wants us to enjoy his fellowship and his blessing. He wants us to have that same comfort that Ruth felt from generous and gracious Boaz. A comfort that passes all the circumstances and situations of this life, because you know the Lord is with you throughout all the ups and downs that may come in life. You, dear friend, know that immense love of that greater one than Boaz. Do you know his kindness? Do you see with the eyes of faith that he is your Redeemer, the only one who can lift you out of your circumstances so that you may be blessed and be a blessing? That like Ruth, you have been led to this field, to this green pasture, that you might know his goodness and grace. And do you respond in faith to that love? For notice with Ruth that she responds in gratitude, not only by praising God, but by faithfully carrying out her work until it's done. We too are to be so faithful and diligent for the Lord in light of all that he has done for us. We too are to live thank-filled and grateful lives, to show our Lord not only in our words, but in our deeds, our gratitude for all that we have received through our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. For our God is filled with compassion and mercy for his people, and we respond with joy. And so we see the compassion of Boaz and the response of Ruth to God's goodness. The humility of Ruth, the compassion of Boaz, all of which leads to blessings for that woman who called herself Mara, bitter. And yet really she's Naomi, because her life is made pleasant in the Lord. Blessings for Naomi. We notice as we look at our chapter here that Ruth goes back to the little town of Bethlehem where they're staying, and she brings with her all the grain that she has gathered up. And children, she has such a great amount for one day's work. Verse 17 says that she had with her about an ephah of barley. That's about 22 liters of grain that she threshed and beat and gathered together. Naomi couldn't believe her eyes. There would be more than enough to feed them and to store up. And Ruth also gave her the rest of what she had, that wonderful banquet that she had with Boaz. She saved some of that and gave that to Naomi, again, a sign of her sacrificial giving for one she loved. And so in light of all this wonderful news, Naomi asks Ruth, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work?" And before Ruth can say anything, she blesses that one who made it all possible. "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." She's so full of joy. But then her joy turns to amazement as Ruth tells her the name of the man she worked for, Boaz. Naomi cries out in verse 20, "The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen, redeemers." Naomi realizes that the Lord has indeed been with them through their struggles. He has not forsaken his kindness. That's the same word that she used back in chapter 1 when she prayed for Ruth and Orpah, that God would show his kindness to them. That is his covenant love, his devotion, his faithfulness. "I will be your God and you will be my people. You follow me and I will be with you." That same promise, she says, God has not forgotten his kindness to us. Naomi knows for certain that God is indeed the Almighty. You remember we talked about that last time, that he is El Shaddai. He has the power to change your situation around. And here Naomi has proof that that's exactly what God is doing. "For the Lord has shown himself faithful to the living," Naomi and Ruth, "and to the dead," namely Elimelech and his sons, Mahlon and Chilion. "For you see, Boaz, children, is a very close relative." And it's also rendered here, same word, as a kinsman redeemer. That means as a relative, as a close relative, he would be one who would be able to redeem them from their situation. And Boaz would be the perfect man to do that, because as we said in verse 1, he is a man of great wealth. That means he would be able to step in the place of Elimelech and purchase that land that he sold, or reclaim that land that somebody took over when they left, and get it back for her so that she would have an inheritance for her children. And with that, being a close relative, he could fulfill the other command of Levirate marriage, where he could marry Naomi and produce children for Elimelech, so Elimelech would have children and carry on his name, and that inheritance would be secured for the generations. Naomi sees that the Lord is opening so many doors, and she is filled with joy and hope inexpressible. What lay ahead for them? Oh, she can't even begin to contemplate. And yet there's a problem again. Naomi is past the age of childbearing. So she realizes that if this is going to happen, and that there are going to be children for Elimelech, then it must come through Ruth. It must come through Ruth. Notice how the writer refers to Ruth in verse 21. He calls her Ruth the Moabitess. We're always brought to the fact that she is someone from the outside who is brought in by the grace of God. And here we see Ruth's words to her daughter. Yeah, Ruth says, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It would be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed." You see, she realizes that God has led them to this point. and that Ruth should stay where she is, because if they despise the grace of God and they go somewhere else, it may destroy that opportunity to bring about redemption for their property and for the family line. And what imagery God uses here, beloved, to portray how redemption comes to Naomi because of Ruth. For think about it, here's Naomi. She's not able to help herself. Without somebody else's aid coming in and stepping in her place, she won't be restored to her former glory. None of what she lost will be regained. And so what does God do? He supplies another who can. He supplies another who can take her place and cannot do what she needs to do. And thus, redemption comes for Naomi, for her family, and for her inheritance. You might say that they're brought from death to life again. Simply, their whole life is restored, and all because another took her place and did what she couldn't do for herself. Indeed, what a picture Ruth is of Jesus Christ, the one who came and took our place before a holy God and paid for our sin, which we could never do. He came and stood in our place and performed for us that great work so that redemption would come to sinners. No more are we in the land of the dead, but in the land of the living. No longer are we spiritually bankrupt and poor, but rich and beyond comprehension, because we have an eternal inheritance now and in the life to come. Yes, Naomi looked to Ruth and saw her redemption. She saw life and blessing. And we too must look to Christ if we are to know that true life and his rich blessing. We must see our own desperate need and our own situation and cling to him as the one who can deliver us, forgive us, and restore us. And dear friends, as we think about this Christmas season and all that goes with it, we must always remember the great and wonderful ways in which God worked in time and in history so that, like Naomi, we might have a Redeemer that we may look to and hope and know that we have salvation and life and blessing. One greater than Ruth, one greater than Boaz, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thus, as we look at the book of Ruth, we notice how God continues to unfold his plan of redemption for both of these women, that they may have their sure hope in him, and that we too may have our confidence in the Almighty God, El Shaddai, who brings salvation through the greater Boaz, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God forever and ever. Amen.